All right, the Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
If you believe that, can you say the Lord is good?
The Lord is good.
Say it again.
The Lord is good.
Say it again.
The Lord is good.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Welcome once again to our school of prayer. But before we start, let's take our declaration of understanding, which is our usual habit. Is that okay? All right. Let's go now. I declare. The Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It's healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. Let me read a particular scripture. Okay? Now, this is not my message for today. We are just gisting. Okay? This is just gist. Now, this will be, okay, I will include this as part of today's message, but it's not the main message for today. But because of these instructions I'm giving, of course, we keep learning, and Christians must always be Christians. Of course, as you know, I was not around last Tuesday and last Saturday. Elder John and Pastor Kimothy held the fort for me, and I thank God for their lives. And there, you know, where I traveled to, one of the things, as I was teaching, I felt the Holy Spirit come upon me to say something. Now, listen to what I said then, very important. In fact, if you follow me, follow our channel on WhatsApp, we posted it on the WhatsApp channel. That God said, how do you say it again? That He's not looking for what? He's not looking for, what did you say it again? Eh? He's not looking for what? Intercessors, and what else? He's not looking for? He's not looking for givers. Eh? There's another thing. About two or three things. Eh? What is He looking for? He's looking for one thing. What is it? He's looking for Christians. God said what He's looking for right now is what? No, I didn't hear you. What is he looking for?
True Christians.
True Christians. The Lord just wants what? Christians. Yes, he's not in need of preachers. Say, he has a lot of preachers. He's not in need of givers. A lot of Christians give. We've been trained to give. There are a lot of very wicked people amongst us, I know. But a lot give. Some people like to pray. 100 days prayer, beginning of the year. God says, listen, I'm tired of all of these things. I'm not saying some of them are bad. Being a preacher, is it a bad thing?
No,
that's not what I'm doing here. Being a giver, is it a good thing?
Yes,
no, answer me.
Yes, sir.
It cannot be said to be bad. God loves what?
Cheerful.
But He said, I have plenty. Say, what I lack critically in this nation, and not only this nation, all over the world, are Christians. They are hard to come by. I'm not supposed to go to church who name the name of the Lord like that. No, I mean those who you point to and say, this one is a Christian. I know it's Christian in everything they do. When they dress up, now as mundane as when they dress up, the Christ in them is fundamental in their hearts. When they are sharing anything, the Christ in them is leading them. You see, sometimes Christians say something like, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are what? Sons of God. You know that scripture from Romans chapter 8, right? Please, let me say it again in case you have not heard me teach on it. The meaning of that scripture is not as long as the Holy Spirit is leading you. Lord, should I go left? Should I go right? People say the ability to hear God is a sign of spirituality. That's not what Paul was saying. What Paul was saying is that as many as are propelled, inspired, do you understand? Who the driving spirit in them? Why they do what they do? Why they make the choice they make? Is the same spirit that was in Christ Jesus, which Paul told us in that Philippians chapter, is it chapter 2 or chapter 3 now? All right. When he said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. That's chapter 2. That's the meaning of being led by the Spirit. It does mean, because read it in context. I'm not teaching about that now. It certainly does not mean as many as are hearing the Holy Spirit talk to them before they make decisions. No. It's what is propelling you. Why are you doing what you are doing? If it's the same thing that was moving Christ Jesus, then you're a child of God. I give the illustration of the time of a young man came to meet me years ago after a church service. He said, Pastor Bank, I want to ask you something. I said, go ahead and ask. He said, these days I notice that when I give, I'm happy. Apparently, he had never had that experience in his life. They didn't understand. There are people like that. Nothing goes for nothing. That's their way. Scratch my back, I scratch your back. That's it. The idea of giving something to somebody for no reason, that is nothing benefiting them, they don't understand it. I assume it was some of those kind of people. So, he came to me and said, what he has observed these days is that when time he gives, he's happy. So I asked him a number of questions. Two of them I remember very well. I said, do you brag about it to anybody? He said, no. I said, do you take it to the Lord in prayer so as to demand something from him? He said, no. Then this is where I'm going. I brought out my hand. I said, shake my hand. Now you are born again. I said, now you are saved. That is, you are being moved by the, that's what it means, but to be led by the Spirit of God. So the reason why this guy is giving now is just to, that is, he's just happy to be of a, to be a blessing. I said, now you're a Christian. All those who give so they can get back, they've not fulfilled that being led by the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit pushing them is not the same Spirit pushing Christ. The Spirit pushing them is not that one pushing Christ. When they make choices, it can be marriage. I want to marry a man that will take care of me. You are not a Christian yet. You are an unbeliever to the core. That's not what's pushing Christ. If Christ just was a woman and he was thinking of marriage, I can tell you the kind of things he will say. I want to marry a man who I can be of help to, because following scripture, who together we can fulfill the plan of God. That's it. Like I say humorously, why should a man want to take care of you? Life has enough problems. Why should I just wake up in the morning, go and join myself in unholy matrimony? You know what they call unholy matrimony? There's holy matrimony. With somebody that my job is to take care of her. How nonsense is that? This life is hard enough. I hope you get my point. Before I married you, I had a lot of problems. I'll not add you to it. Nonsense. I'm not taking care of anybody. Go away. Now, I'm talking about Christian mindset. So you don't come like a liability, like a burden. Now, please don't get me wrong. Some people now go and write on Twitter, Pastor Bank, say, don't take care of your wives. Oh, look, don't that smoke you there if you say that kind of thing for me. That nonsense is that one. Was that what I said?
No, sir.
I'm talking about an attitude of a young woman towards marriage. The Bible says that God loves what? A cheerful what? Giver. So your attitude should be, what am I going to give? Not what I'm going to collect. I'm talking about the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ. Some people go to one church. That church, they don't help people. Say, what, you went to a church so they can help you? Are you okay? Bible says every joint does what? Supply. You didn't ask, what am I going to supply in that church? You went there, you've been there for only 6 months. You already know they don't help people. What are you? You came there to look for help. You didn't say, the Spirit of Christ, if I get there, like Spirit of Christ, this place, everybody says so. They don't even need my help. They use AI to solve all their problems. I tried to join the ushers. They said they have robots that are doing ushering for them. I said, let them pray. I want to join the prayer warrior. I said, Pastor prays all by himself. Evangelism, they are on social media. They don't need me. See, this kind of church, there's nothing to what? Give. Then you have the Spirit of Christ. You're concerned about what? Giving. Brethren, that is the meaning of as many as what? Led by the Spirit of God. Read that in context, please. I don't have time. That's not the main thing I'm teaching now. I can just tell you simply and I go on. As many as are led by the Spirit of God means to be like Christ in the things that is propelling you. You hear concerning Jesus, he had compassion on them. Are you having compassion on people? Do you get what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Now, so God says he needs what? Christians. Jesus looked at Nathanael. He said, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile. That's what it means. God says, that's the kind of people I'm looking for. I don't have a lot. No, call prayer meeting, no. Redemption camp. You can gather 1 million people, though. How many? Or 5 million. God says, I've seen them gather 5 million people. He said, please go inside. Now, please, I'm not talking about redeem. I'm talking about all of us Christians everywhere. Whether it's 100,000 seat capacity auditorium of Dunamis in Abuja, or the ark that Winners is building, or kingdom, what maybe you have with 10,000. So I'm not abusing anybody. It's all of us. I'm saying, God said, as at now, if they gather 1 million people, they are not up to 50,000. I can beat my chest and say, these are my people. People that don't take bribes, they don't lie, they don't cheat. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for people who can make loud noise when they are praying. Ya, ka, 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 ta, ka, ta, ka, ta, ka, ta. It's not a hard thing. The hard thing that when you finish doing kata, do you get my point? Go out, and while you are broke, don't take a bribe. You do your job. You know, this is, you see it all over the country. Anybody that does something for you, looking at you, so what are you going to give me? I have a habit, I walk away. So you can't even, in the course of your duty, oh, let's not talk about our airport here. A fine man, I'm greeting you, a married woman. You're not even ashamed of yourself. You are greeting a fine man so he can give you money at the airport, and you're on duty. Don't you experience it? Everywhere. You should know. Now, you look very fine. They go greet you tired. Steve, I know you're always at the bay. And I reckon, you're just doing your work. One day, one woman said something to me. I wanted to pause. I said, I don't have time to be correcting you. I only said that, look, if your husband saw you, now, won't he be ashamed of you? Or of you? You're at work? Good morning, sir. Fine Friday. I look at him. Why is Friday finer than Thursday? Oh, okay, the bomb picking, they call on Monday. Why is Friday finer than him? So that day, my bag was with one of our, I think I was driving one of our brethren here. I don't know which one. We had my bag. They said, I should just come behind and clear my check-in luggage because of security issues. I had a pack of books. Yes, I remember who I was traveling with. Now, he had my bag. So I just said to the woman, like, okay, sorry. Which was just a simple excuse. Even though it was true, but even if it was not so, I would have given out pianka like the way melt. I know they give you. You're at your work and you're a well-paid civil servant. What's your problem? I just said, no, my bag is over. He said, should I follow you? At that point in time, man, I felt like pausing and turning to her that, don't you have shame of any sort? Your husband, see, I said, follow me, go to my house. But I said, no, I don't have to. No, sorry, I've gotten carried away. I'm talking about Christians. God doesn't like it. He wants us to be different. This person that does his work is a giver. Like I said, there's a difference between there's nothing being able to receive. Nothing wrong with that. Everybody should be able to give, Christian, and when God decides to give you, your hands should be open to receive. Bible talks about one hand full of labor, two hands full of labor, and they talk about one hand, all right? Because it's Ecclesiastes I'm referring to now. God expects that one hand to be closed and that one to be open. This one is busy. That's why it's closed. The other one is open to receive from God. So nothing wrong with that. But God doesn't want us at any time to be takers. Always looking for where to grab. That is not Christianity. I'm talking about the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ wants to give. So anyone who's being led by the Spirit of Christ, that's the one that's a child of God. So God says, I'm looking for what? Christians. I'm just giving an example. So there's one I said I wanted to read, right? Yes. So, that's where we have to open to. All of this is preambling to get to that point. So that one of the traits of being a Christian is being easy to lead. What did I say? Yes, being easy to lead. Open to Psalm 32 for me. Psalm number 32. Now you see something here. You say, I will instruct, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. That's the Lord speaking. Now, God now says something. Now, specifically, he's talking about people listening to him, but it's a principle here. He said, do not be as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle to keep them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near you. Look at, if you read that in the New Living Translation, it said, do not be a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. You know what I'm telling you about here? Please, once you're under authority in life, can I beg you for something? It's a mark of Christianity. Don't be like a horse. Don't be like a mule. You say, what does it mean? Don't be hard to give instructions to. As a Christian, you should never need a threat of punishment to do what is right. If you are driving and they say no parking, don't park there. You are a mule and a horse. If you park there and a policeman needs to tell you to move, he needs to try to lock your tire. If you are driving, the red light says red. You are a mule and a horse. If MOT or LASMA in Lagos needs to be there for you to obey it, you are a mule and a horse. No, I need to tell Christians. A lot of us don't know. So, the other day I was traveling. I think my wife and I were traveling. They said, put off your phone. You know, it pains me when that announcement has to be repeated and you threatened. They've made it clear. It's for takeoff and landing time. And so, I think it was my wife and I traveling, yes, a few weeks ago. And one lady was, they were obviously discussing business, sharing her designs, things she's selling to the other woman. And they said, put off your phone. The cabin crew, they call them executives, looking like, put off your phone. At the point in time, my wife wanted this time, I just turned to the woman. I said, must you be so difficult to lead? The woman that was not complaining. She was complaining to United. You know, she was very gracious when she was sitting close by me. She doesn't know what she was trying to say, that these rules will travel over the world. I said, no, madam, this is not a time for discussing who went to where, how they do it in America. These people here said, put it off. They can't be having conversations with scores of, what do you call people who sit on plane? Is it customers or travelers? I don't know. Whatever. What do they call them? Passenger. There's boss inside passenger. Okay. Anyway. They can't be having conversation with everybody that sits on that plane. I told the madam, I said, madam, see, this conversation is not, I'm not talking about whether it's reasonable or not. They've given a simple rule. I said, do you know what they've considered? Why do you have to be deep? That's why I'm going as a child of God. Please, it's something that pains me. Why do you have to be difficult to rule? Only horses and mules, the Bible says, are the ones you have to fight with threats of punishment. If they put a sign, don't sit here. You know, so people actually remove the sign. I'm like, excuse me, are you okay? You get to a place, say, no entry. Brethren, don't enter. That's what is called civility, to be civil. Let me tell you, if you didn't learn anything today, learn this one. When they give instructions, your first instinct is, how do I obey it? Not how do I break it? They say, don't park, no parking. They say, I won't spend long. Did they say, don't park in if you won't spend long? In case you don't know the rules of traffic, I have to teach you everything, Abi. Teach you Bible. Rules of traffic. Let me just tell you so those who know. You've seen it before. When I was younger, I used to wonder. They say, no stopping, no parking, no waiting. So I'm like, how can I park if I don't stop? Just tell me no stopping. That's good enough. It was when I became older and I understood traffic laws and I realized, oh, each one has a meaning. No stopping means you can't come to a halt. A car is said to have stopped if it has halted on one position. The driver is inside, the engine is running. They say it stopped. If you put off the engine but you're inside the car, you're waiting. If you lock the car and walk away, you're parked. So when they write like that, they know what they are saying. So when they tell you, no waiting. Say, you can't halt your car here and relax inside and put off the engine. No, we know you're inside. But you know the rules around town here. They say, if you come to MOT, we lock your tire, you understand? But if you're sitting inside, they will leave you alone. That is, waiting is allowed. But parking is not. High security areas, they will tell you, no stopping. You can't even slow down the vehicle. Each point, you must be moving. You must be moving. When you see the sign, oh boy, obey it. If they say, no waiting, don't say, I'm not planning to stay long. They knew that when they said no waiting. If they say no parking, then stay inside your car. One day I got to enter my house, I saw a car parked at my gate. You don't understand? Maybe you don't get it. Parked at my gate. No, I was trying to go out of the house, I think. Is it out or in? I don't know. But I went to pass through my gate. I wasn't angry. I was shocked. You know what I said? I was not angry. What was my emotion? Shock. Like, excuse me, residential area, in a house we can see people live inside, and you parked at the gate. You don't understand? Oh, too busy. I don't mean he's waiting or he stopped. I mean, he locked the car and walked away. I came out. I was just shocked that people do things like this. So I looked around. Moving around, knocking, just asking questions. So the woman ran out of my neighbor's house. Sorry, sir. That he wasn't planning to stay long. I said, what? He's a workman, you know. I mean, I don't know whether he's an electrician or something. He came to a plumber. He came to fix something in my neighbor's house or to inspect something. And he packed. That's my gift. That he wasn't planning to stay long. And I feel like, you park at people's gates because you're not planning to stay longer. No, they don't do like that in a society that is civil. It's called parking. You don't. If I have to come at an emergency, if you see fire service, entrance to hospitals, the sign, proper place, the sign will be there telling you, yeah, beware yourself. Because fire can go, the guys may have to come out anytime. They don't want to see somebody who's not planning to stay long. At their gate. Brethren, please. Christianity goes as far as where you park. If they say all devices off. My own is that, this is what I keep telling people. I said, I just hate the idea that I have to, at this level in my life, at a spiritual level, that somebody has to use threats to keep me in check. I'm a horse. I'm a mule. In the kingdom of God, all they will put everywhere is signs. There will be no police because there are no unrighteous persons there. The signs will be there just to let you know what the order is like. You see? Speed limit, 30 kilometers an hour. Brother, if you see such, slow down. And go at 30 kilometers an hour. Some say, ah, they don't mean it. Did you read their mind? I don't think I should tell you this. You know it already. If you buy a new device, no. You just trying to help you. This is not righteousness. Even though it's righteousness. If you buy a new device, Jesus, you are looking at me. Read the instructions first. Bring out the manual. Don't say, I get this type before. They are not the same thing, no. Please, read the manual. Especially when somebody brought it for you from abroad. Somebody look at it. Hey, this is nice. What does it do? It says, nice sparkling lights to decorate it. Hey, plug down now. You plug it, 220 volts. As you are still watching, hey, this looks nice. So yeah, boom. It's burnt. It can't be repaired. Then your cousin now calls you from America. He said, ah, Steve, did you get that thing I sent? So, but it's not even good, Steph. It's already burnt. Oh, what did you do? I plugged it. It's 120 volts. And I did not know. How will you know? It's a serious discipline. You know, the first day I realized I was as bad as Steve and Jimmy's in these things, all right? It was when the first time I bought an Android phone. Android. I don't use Nokia Tire now. Symbian OS. It's not phone. I brought phone. I put SIM card, do everything. Nice new Android. I remember. It was an LG phone. Nice, beautiful phone. My first day of using it. Then the phone now rang. It rang. No more ringing. Ting, 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 ting. Ah, my phone. Oh, it's calling. I picked the phone. Yeah, answer now. Now begin. I tap. Now, this is not today, now, but when using Android was still a new thing. I tapped and tapped and tapped. What's wrong with this phone? It's LG now. It's genuine. It's new. I tapped and tapped and tapped. And the phone, the call ended. This guy could not answer the call. Couldn't do anything. So finally, I ate humble pie. I looked for, those who went to CS to have manuals. I went, brought out the manual, and sat down. To answer the call, swipe. I said, That was where I realized that this is not the normal phone I used to use. I now sat down and started reading. I started making discoveries. I said, Okay. You know, you know how to describe people who don't read manuals? You know how they are? Proud people. They think they know. People think that proud people are those who put shoulder pads and they are walking like this. No. Proud people are just think they know. And so one day, my wife's car is not a German car, but it's one of those tech things. One day I put the car, drive. The drive now button. Move now. The car said, I look at this car. I don't spoil this car just now. I press, I say, boom. What's wrong with this car? But I put in drive just now. So I looked. Oh, it was neutral. I said, maybe I forgot. I pressed the drive, the D button again. I press and pick him. I felt the car engage. Then I pressed it. Vroom. You know when the car has already disengaged? As I pressed the accelerator, the car said, vroom. And then it went up. I looked again. It was neutral. I said, am I forgetting so fast? This time around, I put it in drive. I watched it very well. And pressed it. Vroom. It shifted to neutral. I said, hey, at least I'm sure it didn't drive. Finally, I look. I say, hey, which kind of wallet is this one, though? I said, let me just close the door. I wasn't going to drive if I just wanted to shift it small, park it properly. So I closed the door. The car said, hey, now you are behaving yourself. Closing drive. Now he now moved. I said, oh, I can't drive my own car because the door is open. The Lord is good. I think you can say I was driving car one day for Abuja. Now for a road, the car stopped on there. He called the owner. Your car is not moving. What I'm just trying to say, brethren, like the manual thing is for your own good. But generally in life, obey instructions. What did I say?
Obey instructions.
Yeah, you should. It's a very bad thing if somebody has to be there to enforce the law against you. It's not good. You, as a Christian, should not need law enforcement. That you know, people share videos. One policeman in America was, seriously manhandling one woman. Man handling her. He's a man. And, kicking her and, we're like, it's America. So I asked, I just looked at it. I said, you shouldn't treat anybody like this, oh, it's not good, though. I said, but why did she not just follow what he said? I said, his name is Law and I put the force in capital. Enforcement officer. One of my guys lives in New York. He said he's authorized to punch you if you don't do what he says. He was saying, no, you should be civil. I said, no. Civility is not a law enforcement officer, when he refuses to enforce the law on you. Civility is when he gives an instruction and you obey. If he says, please step out of the car. I know my right. I know my right. I know my left. I know my left. Brethren, step out of the car. That was the situation there. I said, why do we want to be so heady? Then use social media to embarrass somebody. If you have done, and funny thing, all my guys who commented were from America, they were like, why was she not cooperating? That this escalated because she would not cooperate. I remember many years ago, I watched that on TV. A lot of us, it was, he said, you're very cooperative and I appreciate that. Yet he was handcuffing this guy, told him what he did wrong, what he did not do. And then they turned around the guy, and he treated the guy so nice, said, look, I just want you to know that you're cooperating very well and I appreciate it. But you had to follow his procedure because of the laws that he broke. But that guy was so cooperative. We're watching it on TV. I said, oh, this is the point. I said, I know my right. Your eyes will be swollen by the time you can't even read. Please don't follow, there's one guy, let me not call his name, one Nigerian guy, like they say, the one that said that if he wins presidency, he'll legalize smoking of weed. Remember that guy? DJ Guns, you know the guy? Yes. Please don't follow him. That guy is not normal. I know a mental case when I see one. There are a number of prominent Nigerians that can tell you this one is sick, this one is sick, and they have a large following. You just use doctor eye, look the guy, I said, this guy, man, this guy is hypomanic. He's bipolar. People think he's bold. Say he's bold. This is, I say, Fela was very bold. He spoke against authority. I said, if you smoke that size of Igbo, you will speak against God. So leave all these things you are saying. They say he spoke there. You look at before you say, man is bold. Check the size of rap he's using. You will eat vegetable soup. You want to speak. Where I'm going, look, don't be a difficult person and then I think you're a civil rights activist. No. There are a lot of antisocial persons who are civil rights activists. Yeah. If you go to the DSM classification of mental illnesses, being antisocial is a mental illness. A lot of them are antisocial. And people follow them, they think they are civil rights activists. That's by the way. All this message, Steve, is to instruct those who don't obey laws simply. Let me just explain it to you in summary. Be easy to rule. What did I say?
Be easy to rule.
Yes. And this is in the scriptures. Obey those who have rule over you. Don't let them be doing things with force. As a child of God, you should not need law enforcement. Do your best to obey rules. Once they are published, it's not how do we break it, it's how do we obey it as much as possible. Some things can be difficult. Are you getting my point? But as much as we say, how do we obey this? And like, let me add this one to you before I get into today's message. If they say, in this school, okay, just to make it easy for young ladies, your skirt cannot be less than 20 inches long. Don't make your own 20 inches. Did you get my point? What should you make it? 22. Did you catch what I said?
Yes, sir.
Stop staying at the edge. You're a child. They said, be home by 7 p.m. Otherwise, that's what your father told you. Then you'll be coming back home every day at 6:59. 6:58. 7:01. And you're feeling righteous. You know the truth? In Christianity, you are not righteous. You're disobedient. In Christianity, obedience does not count until willingness is established. What did I say? Let's say it together. One, two, let's go. In Christianity, obedience does not count until willingness is established. He said, if you are willing and obedient, that's when you eat the good of the land. So when they say, don't come home after 7, you should know the rule is that your parents don't want you outside the house when it's late. So immediately, you should hope to be home before it's dark. Don't think of 7 o'clock. Start thinking, let me get home on time. So typically, you should be home by 6, 6:30, 5 o'clock. Not like, hey, they told me 7, no, you're not walking. And then when you now get home, daddy, there was a ghost door at the junction. The truth is that you wanted to stay out. Your heart was still outside. Do you get my point? Your heart was still outside. So you stayed late as much as possible. You now smuggled yourself in at exactly 7. And you now say, I go home now. It says 7. You look at the time, it's 7. The main thing is that you were not willing. You're obedient, but you were not willing. See, if God puts rules for you, I will put in a place you're supposed to obey rules. Do it joyfully. Do it joyfully. If you go to, now I'm not saying this is a law of God, I'm just an example. If you go to a school or a church where they say ladies can't wear slim trousers, don't ever wear trousers that it will be a discussion, is it slim or is it not slim? Start wearing baggy. Wear the ones that you can hide a child under it. You know, their trousers are so big. Now, you get my point? You've not like, this one is not slim now, but it's not slim now. You're having a discussion. You get what I'm saying? Willingness must be established before obedience counts with Christians. If you obey something and you're not willing, in heaven they've recorded against you disobedience. Summary of it is, a mark of spirituality is that you're not difficult to lead. You're not difficult to rule. They give an instruction. Once he has spoken, you hear it twice. Not looking for how to go around it. Was it here? We're talking the other day about Christians who write, instead of coming 6, they said don't be, 8 o'clock is late time. They come at 8:05. They write 7:65. That's deception. What did I call it? Yes. Intended to deceive. Anyway, let's get back to our message. All right. I actually have a long message for today, but we have spoken so much now. I don't know how we'll get this done. But let's see how it goes. I want to talk about the praises of God. Maybe I'll just introduce it and then we'll continue it next time. The praises of God. All right? I actually spoke about this about a few weeks ago here, a few meetings ago. Maybe the one before the last one that I preached. All right? Pastor came to preach last week, right? Yeah, I think about two of the last ones I preached, that is, the two before Pastor came to preach last week. So it's been a few weeks ago. And I'm going to repeat some things I said there, but with some more light. And then this time around, I'll take many examples from scripture to emphasize what I'm saying. Now, please, let me explain what praise is again. If I would discuss this in Medjugorje, part of the Apostolic Summit, maybe that's where the thing fired again back in my spirit. Please, get rid of this mentality that God enjoys praise. I've heard this before, where people teaching on marriage. They say men like respect. Have you heard it before?
Yes, sir.
Is it true? Is it true? Hey, you, I'm not talking to you. Let men talk. They didn't say boys like respect. Men are those, you know, who have wives. Don't worry, you soon become a man. Just a man. Just a, some of these boys know what they now do. Look at Benga's beard. It's almost this long. Look at his own. It's this length. Why is that people want the ones they don't have? Those of us that have now, where, you know, we don't want it. No. You see, small boy growing beards this length. I'm like, excuse me. Eh? Even Chibi is in there that has a right to it. He has cropped his own to very, very short. Now, have you heard it before? Man, hey, all these young wives are the one we should be. Shift your head, let me talk to a young wife. You heard it before? Men love respect. You heard it before? Uh-huh. Is it true? Jacob, don't talk. Damn it. Is it true? You're a man of God, don't embarrass yourself with the wrong answer. Is it true? He says, not sure. Now, let me give you a simple. Now, a lot of people say it's true. Yeah, I know what they are saying, and they are right, actually, okay? But actually, it's not true. It is not true. Let me ask you a question. Human beings love oxygen. Will ever say yes? No, you never answer me yes. They say human beings love oxygen. You can't rule a house if you're not respected. It's not about men loving respect. It's necessary in the relationship. And once you think a man loves it, you already have missed the point. So if you give it to him, you think I'm doing you a favor. I could be rude though, but I just chose to. You've missed the point. Yeah, men don't love respect. Anywhere you're not respected, you can't live there. Respect is a necessary thing, all right? If somebody is to bear rude in his house. Women who preach that kind of thing, it's nonsense preaching. Because the truth is that you wouldn't say to children, your parents love respect. You never say to students that their teachers love respect. Why do you say about husbands that they love respect? It shows that you don't believe they deserve it. You think it's a favor you are doing to them, doing for them. And that's the foundation of problems in a home. Once you start seeing things like that, now, you see where I'm going. A lot of people, now that's just a small one we drop, but I'm trying to get somewhere. A lot of us Christians still think God loves praise. Some people still think he craves worship. Yeah, I still heard people say it, that God loves worship, God loves praise. Please stop it. He doesn't love worship, he doesn't love praise. There is nothing he is doing with it. That is not to say you're not supposed to worship. That is not saying you're not supposed to praise. What I'm saying is don't even for one moment think that he has anything to add to God. It doesn't. It doesn't. If you are describing, now what is praise? Let's get what praise is clearly again. Praise is not, you know, human beings, when we talk about praise, usually when you tell people things that they don't deserve, things that are not true. Say, the most handsome man in the world. Bro, how can one man in Enugu be the most handsome man in the world? You see the way we do it to our governors. Before you were in darkness, a governor. Since you came now, Enugu is not the same thing it used to be. Stop telling lies. You don't believe so. There's no water on your street. You're just saying it because you think it's nice. I'm not saying our governor is bad. I'm just saying that. Don't say that. You know, you're telling lies, actually. But that's what we call praise. There's one place in Nigeria, I almost mentioned their name. One particular city. One particular kingdom or tribe. One day, they crowned a new traditional ruler. And they were telling the stories of their traditional rulers. And I was looking at the matter in the story, say, excuse me. Say, their ancestors conquered the British Empire. They're looking like, Which British Empire? And they kept on talking and talking. I said, well, you will soon write this into it, but I'll now be praising. You remember our guy? Let me not mention his name again, because brethren in his country, you know, is your guy. Is your guy. Who's your guy? You understand my point? That's your guy. He added to his title, the conqueror of the British Empire. Remember the guy? Or some of you don't know who. You know who? Eh? You know the guy? Eh? The man had the Jerry Curls. No. Tangled hair. There's a code in that tangled hair, I said now. There's a code. It didn't have hair, just that if you pronounce his last name, it's what a Western Nigerian man would call people with Bob Marley. Uh-huh. You're getting my point. He calls himself the conqueror of the British Empire. Yeah, that's what we call praise. So, where's my guy? The local government, that guy, his local government chairman, who's not in APC, by the way, as of today. Please, let me talk small politics before I continue my message. I love Nigeria. I love Nigeria. I love Nigeria. Do you know why I love Nigeria? Some people who entered office in Labour Party. 6 months later, they moved to PDP. As at this morning, they have entered APC. Oh my God, that is called traveling. Are you getting married? The Lord is good. So, that is guy. If he comes out like village banking drop, go. Before you, no man. After you, no man. And then he say, you need not to drop money. Now, when I carry that attitude to church, if you want something from God, praise him. That's an insult. Brethren, let's get it clear. It's an insult. When you want something from the Lord, you praise him. You worship him first. You worship him so that his head will swell. Then when his head has swollen and swollen, it will explode and your blessings will come forth in the explosion. Brethren, it's a wrong attitude. It's when we take the natural human response and we extrapolate it to God. So when we say praise, we mean psychophancy. When we say praise, we mean sophistry. When we say praise, we mean exaggerating facts. And when we go to God, we want to offer him the same thing, things we don't believe, things we don't understand. Now, let me tell you what praise is from God's perspective. Praise is accurate description of who he is. It's not psychophancy. Let me use common Nigerian language. It's not hailing. You're not hailing him. Baba, the Baba, ultimate Baba. He is actually the ultimate Baba. Praise is when your head gets corrected and you recognize it. Do you get the point?
Yes, sir.
It's not when you finally give it to him. No, it's when you finally come to your senses and realize that, oh, actually, praise is due to God. Praise is not pumping. How do I say it? Praise is proper recognition. The more you recognize, the more you speak. And the more you speak like that, or let me put it like this. When you speak like that, you are getting more accurate with your life. Now, the more you see God as he is, the more faith is boosted in your heart. And faith, brethren, is powerful. God. Faith is extremely powerful. The greatest thing you can have in life is faith. If you understand it, you won't be thinking of how do I get money. It's how do I get faith. Now, it's not possible what I'm about to say, all right? But I just need to illustrate a fact. What I'm about to say cannot be done. But if it were possible for you to get faith in your heart concerning a thing, and the thing is against the will of God, God will still do it. Nothing is impossible to him that believes. Now, notice what I said. It is not possible. You know, I first established that. But I just want you to understand what faith is. If God says this chair should stay here, and it was possible for you to have faith in your heart to tell the chair to get up, it will get up. But it's not possible. Because one of the things that God's word does is to wipe out faith that goes against his will. Yeah, that's why I said, go and deaden the ears of these people. What I'm saying, here you know, is in the scriptures.
Yes, sir.
It told Isaiah, go and say to them, hear and don't understand. See and don't perceive. Because if they did, I will be forced to forgive them. There's something they will provoke. They will provoke something in their heart, which I don't want to do. I will be forced to do it. So say, first thing you will do, go and deaden the ears of this, make their heart dull. So that's something about God. But I want to emphasize how powerful faith is. Faith is so powerful. Literally, a mountain will be in a particular place. A person of faith will look at it and say, move away from there. I want to drive past. And you know what Jesus said? It will obey you. It's not my words. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I don't like people saying that, you know, God can't change the past. I said, the more you say it, the more you remove faith from our hearts. So we can't believe him for changing of the past. Because indeed, God that I serve can change the past. And in fact, he has changed the past for you so many times, you don't realize it. Because one of the things he does when he changes the past for you is to wipe out the memory. He doesn't want confusion in society. So I don't tell people that God can't change the past. No, I just leave it. Even if I don't understand how we will do it, just say leave it. Somebody who can turn the hands of the clock back, who can make the sun stand still. If you know the principles of astronomy on this earth, you will know if this earth was to stop turning, all of us will fly off into space. So how did he make the sun to stand still? We don't know. How did he make the moon stand still? We don't know. How did he make the shadow to go back on the stairway of our house? We don't know. But did he do it? Of course he did. I don't like saying to God that there's something he can't do. No, that thing they say in NSPPD is very correct. What God cannot do does not exist. That's just a modern way of saying nothing is impossible with God. What is praise? See, praise is not pumping. It's not undue hailing. Real praise is proper recognition. It's like me describing oxygen. If I tell you oxygen is needed for respiration in cells. Am I praising oxygen? Humanly speaking, what does it look like? No, now, what have you just said? It's just what it is. It's fact. It's fact. That's how praise with God is. Praise with God, really, is not praise the way we think of praise. Praise with God is just fact. If I say, he's a governor among the nations, I'm the one that have come up to recognize that APC is not the governor in Nigeria. See, now please, I'm not trying to talk politics now to give you facts. APC is not deciding who's the next president. God is. If everybody in Nigeria, I didn't say every governor, every legislator, I said every person in Nigeria joins APC, they still cannot choose the next president. God will choose who is president. You will discover it that day. Please, I need to emphasize this thing for us. Praise is not, oh, hail him, hail him, hail him. No, praise is recognize him for who he is. What did I say? Praise is what? Recognize him for who he is. God that made the heaven and the earth. You know why they need to tell you that? You know why? Because right now they told us nobody made it. They are telling us nobody made it. That what happened, that there was a big bang. Oh, the Baba that described big bang is around today. Yeah. After us went on strike, he came home. That is the one standing on that camera. A few years ago, I said, what's the big bang? He said, nothing, nowhere, no time, no reason. Boom. Exactly what he said. Was that COVID lockdown period? We used to have fellowship in the house every morning. I said, what's the big bang? He said, nothing, nowhere, no time, no reason. Boom. Now, they've told us, in fact, Stephen Hawking, before he died, he said that somebody in the scientific community, they muted the idea of God. That is it possible for God to be the first cause? That is, at least, he started it, then things took over. Stephen Hawking released a statement that the universe does not need anybody to create it. The universe will have created itself. What was his reason? He said, because gravity exists. And once there is gravity, the consequences of, that is, the sequence of events that created this universe will happen eventually once gravity exists. He jumped one spot. Which is what? Who created gravity? How did gravity come to exist? But to let you know, a world renowned, one of the world's top physicists actually uttered or issued a statement that introducing the possibility of God into the origin of things, this is just a few years before he died, and he died just a few years ago. He said introducing the concept of God into the origin of things is unnecessary because we have gravity. I felt like telling him, bro, gravity has a name. It's God. It's called God. If that's what you want to call it. That's why the Bible has to tell us he's a possessor of heaven and earth. That's why the Bible had to start with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, you'd have wondered that, is it a necessary statement? It's necessary. Because some jokers will arise one day, like one man started a church in which he said a floating spaghetti created the universe. Don't worry, he was trying to mock Christianity. And he decided that he has a right to recognition in the United States of America. But God keeps telling us, and you know one of the reasons why God keeps telling you that? Eh? I've learned that, you know. I have learned it. See. Hey, that John. Let us assume I need something now for me personally or kingdom word. And they say, okay, let's take land as an example. And they say there's no land. You know, it doesn't mean anything to me. You know why? Having recognized who created the heavens and the earth, and the Bible said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So once I recognize that, I'm able to ask God. Now, how will he create land? Did he ask me before when he made the first one? My God that changes the past, he can reverse time, tell Enugu governor to move to Abapa. And where government house currently is situated, say, Banky, is this one okay? You can have it. If he needs to do it, he will do it. Now, I will not have that faith if I did not recognize that God created the heavens and the earth. So, recognition is what praises. You're not telling God what he is not. Anytime you praise God, it is you that's helped. Now, let me just use this as an example again. And see, because you see, when God wants to help, he reveals himself. Anyone who sees God regularly will recognize that he or she doesn't have a problem. You hear what I said? Yes. When I say see God regularly now, when you understand who God is, your problems will always pale. They become small when you are focused on him. That's why I said you will keep in perfect peace the mind that is stayed on you. That's the way it works. You just recognize that there is nothing. You know, there's something God used to say. It was like, it's a query. Say, I'm the God of all flesh. Is there anything too difficult for me? Do you get my point? Is what is too difficult for me in this situation? Now, what is too difficult? That is, what was he saying? If you recognize who I am, you will know that there's nothing I cannot do. Do you follow my point? Yes, Exodus chapter 34. Let's just go there again. 33, 34. Yes, I want you to just understand something. You know, at the point in time, Moses went to God. All right? Now, just to let you know what happened. God had threatened that he wouldn't go with the people of Israel because they kept on disobeying his instructions. And Moses at a point in time said, if your presence will not go with us, then we don't want to leave this place. Then Moses now said to God at a time that, see, I want to know you, I want to see you. In verse 18, he said, that's 33. In verse 18, he said, I pray you, show me your glory. And God let it be clear to him. He said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. Now notice that. Then where was this now fulfilled? You go to chapter 34. He said in verse 5, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed. He proclaimed the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. He said, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers and all of that, all right, on the children and the grandchildren to the third and fourth generation. Now, as soon as God said this to Moses, Moses made haste to bow low to the earth and worship. He said, if now I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, I pray, let the Lord go along in our midst, even though the people are so obstinate, and pardon what? Our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your own possession. Now, there's a principle here. Please, I want you to note it. Moses has seen what the problem will be. Do you understand my point? He has seen what the problem will be. And then he asks to see the Lord. The Lord now, can I use the expression just for the purpose of discussion? Accidentally, it's not an accident, I'm just trying to say. The Lord entrapped himself. You know how the Lord entrapped himself? By doing what? Proclaiming what? Who can tell me exactly what the Lord did to entrap himself? Exactly. Thank you. He said the Lord, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands and forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. So Moses said, pardon our iniquity and our sin. Did you see that?
Yes.
He went and proclaimed that it's God that forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. So Moses said, okay then, I know they are stubborn, I know they are obstinate, I know they are difficult to lead, but have a. You said it. So the vision of God provoked faith. It provoked faith in the heart of Moses. Do you get my point? Please, let me explain this again. The world, we discussed this a few weeks ago. The world is engineered to take faith away from you. And many of us don't know what we are doing when we are cooperating with them. What's the problem in Nigeria? Let's start with that. We'll start with that, read a few scriptures, and then we'll go. Now, Chibeze, I know your opinion. But what is the common opinion on the street? What's the problem with Nigeria? Huh? Is your name Chibeze, Oga? You just born Pekin. Your papa the baby. You don't mind him. I'm asking Chibeze. I didn't say papa of new Pekin. Did I say so? What is the problem in Nigeria? Okay. It gave me two. The street one. Tinubu. All right. So, Tinubu is probably in Nigeria. Number two. Leadership, thank you very much. Even though your name is not Chibeze, but at least you're not papa of new baby. So let me forgive your iniquity, transgression, and sin. APC. Now, you get the joke. We're joking about it, but the fact. This is what people say. It's APC. It's Tinubu. It is the leaders. It is... they still call Buhari, even though he has gone. Oh, my God. These people are serious. So they still Buhari. Then all our... I know somebody who say all our leaders since 1960... They are the reason why cassava is not growing today. They are the reason why rice is not in abundance. Is that what the Bible says? One of the things we learn about God. Now, see, if you don't know this, you won't pray effectively. I've been to prayer meetings before. Let's pray. What kind of leaders do you have? What kind of leaders? There are positions you are supposed to occupy. A wrong person is in that position. You are going to pray. I feel like I say, who told you you are supposed to be in that position? And who told you the person there is wrong? Oh, of course you know, because you had a second class upper in science and technology in the university, and this person is the current minister for science and technology, and his certificate is questionable. And what you are saying is that, listen to this carefully when you talk, may what I don't qualify for never come into my hands. Yes? Is that not what you are saying? Because if you were the one in that position, you'd be giving testimonies. Say, brethren, I only stop in OND. I did OND in, give me one science, maybe metallurgy or crafts and design. And I just managed to pass. If pass mark is the lowest to leave the school is 40, I got 39.6. They just approximated to 40. Brethren, they said I couldn't do it. But today, I'm their minister. Praise God. And we will be, and our pastor will tell us to key into that testimony with our offering. Yeah, I like the way he's laughing. If he's laughing. Because our pastors will tell us to key. That me will tell you to key into that testimony with a seed. And you actually get up from your chair to key. Did you hear what he said? See? You need to do what? Lock it. You will lock the testimony into your life. When it is you and your church member, it is okay. But then, once it's somebody that is far away, you are there on social media saying how that's a problem in this country. Lack of meritocracy. If only we meritocratically get into the place. If you speak in English, that even King Charles is confused as to the meaning, the way you are using it. Brethren, it's called double-mindedness. Such a person can never receive anything from God. Because every time you go for an appointment, God says, I hope you are the most qualified though. You will get the application. Out of 500 people applying, God will show that you are number 200 and maybe 11. You're in the top half. And they're only intending to employ 10. Going by your meritocracy, it will never get to you. If you believe that favor is not fair, it doesn't only work in your direction. You hear what I said? If indeed you believe that favor is not fair, it does not only work in your direction. Why don't you open your mouth and say, God has granted him favor. My time will come. After all, you said that I want to crawl into heaven. What did you do to get there? It's not the person you know. No, people say that. It's only man, no man. You, the heaven you are going, is it your works? It's not the person you know. Why are you not making it look like it's because they know people? You not make your God look like somebody that's not worth knowing. Yeah, because he can't help you. You want a human position, he can't help you. Let me tell you, I'm telling you what praise is. What you have done every time, you have used your mouth to praise a false God. And faith has left your heart. So Christians will say that, I did not apply, I don't know anybody. My God, if you know how you insult this, your father. Why didn't you apply for that job? You say, they were advertising them. I wanted to apply, but I did not bother. Why? You know, I don't know anybody. God will look at himself. I am nobody. This boy just said, I am nobody. Let me tell you how Christians are supposed to respond to such things. Say, I will apply. If it pleases the Lord, I will get it. Leave it like that. If you have to write 1,000 applications with that statement, keep making it. It's called faith. Say, I will apply. Say, who do you know? I know God, for goodness sake. The earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof. Say, the whole company belongs to my father. The MD works for my father. The whole board, they are my father's servants. And he said so last night, did you get the job? He didn't please him. He didn't want to give me that one. He has something else planned for me. Which by the understanding of his plans is better than the other one. It's not money that God is counting. He knows where he's taking me to. After all, when we had to apply for a job, my name is Joseph. I applied for a job in the house of Potiphar as a slave. Do you get my point? God knew that you wouldn't go to where he wants you to go. That's why they had to enslave you. If your name was Joseph and your father loved you like that, you ain't leaving that farm. Leave that farm for what? Coat of many colors. No, you're not leaving. No. God said, how do I move this boy? Get his brothers to sell him. You know, they wanted to kill him. You know why they couldn't kill him? Who can tell me why they couldn't kill him? It's a simple reason. Who can tell me why they could not kill him? Yeah? What did you say? Let my guy answer. Hey, yes, too. Answer me. Thank you. The hand of the Lord was with him. It's not Reuben. Humanly speaking, it was Reuben. But God had not, God had not decreed his death. No child of God can die until God says, let him die. None. Whether it's a car accident, or a plane crash, or a drunk poison, or even suicide, no child of God can die until God says, let him die. There was no arrangement they could make that would have caused Joseph to be killed. So when they wanted to kill him, and Reuben, it was Reuben that saved his life, right? Yeah, it was Reuben. That was just the Spirit of God moving. That was the Spirit of God moving because it was not yet time to die. So they sold him as a slave. And Reuben felt bad. Do you know why? Reuben had planned to come back and take him and go and give him to his father and tell him not to send him on errands again. God said, okay, if you do what you have said now, how will he get to where I'm sending him to? So after Reuben left, they quickly brought him out and sold him into slavery. And you know what the Bible says? Let's open our Bibles. No, this is a sweet portion. It's a sweet one. Quickly go to the book of Psalms. Psalm 105. Quickly, Psalm 105. I want you to go to verse 17. Everybody read it together. If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
Now, I want you to get, let's read it. You know American standard. Okay, any version you have, read it. Want to, let's go. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. Wait. Who sent a man before them? But I thought his brothers sold him as a slave. There are different levels of looking at things. There's vision from the earth, and there's vision from above. Take a moment and pray. Say, Lord, give me visions from above. Now, you need to pray that prayer. I want you to pray it. Say, Father, give me visions from above. Help me to understand from above. Pray that prayer. Heavenly Father, help me to understand from above. I do not wish to understand from beneath. I don't want to be stuck with, you know, low-level understanding. Help me, Father, to understand from above. Say it simply. Say, Father, so that when I see Joseph being sold as a slave, I will understand that you are sending a man before your people. In Jesus' name. Now, that's the praise of God. In fact, I listed, let me give you a few of them that I wrote down. But because of time, we cannot go into all of them. This particular one now, I wrote it as the one who establishes destiny. Yeah. See, brethren, please, what I'm trying to do in this short series, okay, is for us to recognize God properly. Do you follow my point? That is, do you know, my own has reached a level. I told you before, if I'm going on the road and my tire enters the gutter, my car gets stuck. Some people say, this is a problem in this country. There are no markers on the road. There are a lot of useless drivers out there. I don't know what the government is doing. God has helped me. Me, I come out and like, God, what is the issue? Where I'm going, does it not please you? You don't want me to go or what? I literally look around, like whether I can see the angel that pushed my car into the gutter. Of course, I never see. I'm just giving us an idea. But that's how much God has helped me to understand. My tire cannot go down until God says so. Look, do you remember that day? You helped me take my sister-in-law and the driver that brought her back to Asaba. Yeah. When you parked the car, what did you know? Did you notice something after? No. When you parked the car in my house, no, you when you came back, you parked the car. What happened immediately after? The tire went down flat. You did not realize that. I didn't realize too. There was no jack in that car. I didn't know. Onduka drove this car from here. There was something that happened. My sister-in-law came to visit with a vehicle and a driver, but the car had an accident on the you know, along the line. So they had to return. So I just said, Onduka, please, help me take them. About a number of, the driver, her, maybe somebody, I can't remember for sure. Just drive them to Asaba. Somebody will pick them for you from there. Then you come back. The car was okay. What I did not know that either the car didn't have a spare, either the spare was bad because it's not the car we used often. And there was no jack. When the car drove that car, got to Asaba, turned around, dropped the people, turned around, got to my house, parked the car. When I came out, the car was flat on the ground. I'm like, when did this happen? He looked at it like, the tire is flat. It just happened now. See, he's an experienced driver. If that thing had gone down the road, he would notice. He would notice. He drove into the compound. Within how many minutes afterwards, the tire just went down complete. Next day, let's change the tire. The spare was totally flat also because having been idle there for a long time, or there was no jack. Was a wrong jack, or somebody had borrowed the jack to use and did not return it, and we didn't know all of this. And what time did you return that day? It was late in the evening. I just realized, I said, God, oh my God, God, you are so God. Do you get my point? I'm not talking about good now, that you are so God. You are so God. That this God just looked, told an angel, hold that tire. Soon the car was driving, the angel held the tire. When he got back home, he said, losing it now. Remove your hand. The tire just went down. went flat. I gave the testimony last local convention I went for. In our convention, they share gifts. You know, they encourage people. Just, so people will come with gifts and just be giving people, you know. So my wife stopped on the way and bought a lot. No, small, small things, big, big things as you, your spirit feels, you understand? You buy anything. One of our sisters, my wife just turned to her and said, oh, my sister, take. You know what she gave to her? A pack of toothpick with floss. You know these plastic things we know had? The young lady, the lady looked at it, the sister looked at it, gave my wife a hug like 4 times. And my wife was wondering, this is not an expensive gift. I just gave her something so trivial. And she just turned like, just tapped her, hey, sis, I've not seen you. Abe, take. As she tapped her collector, the lady looked at it and hugged my wife tight. What was the issue? Something was stuck at that moment in her tooth and or her gum. If she was in distress, she had been looking for what to use to remove it. Listen to her words. She said that that she was willing at that point to take a toilet brush. I'm telling you what she said. That at that point, if somebody had given that, the distress was so much, she would have washed the toilet brush and used to pick her teeth. While she was sitting in distress, somebody just tapped her and gave her a pack of toothpick. And she said, God, is this how much you think of me? Please, don't use your mouth to drive away faith from your body. Something bad happens. Nigeria has happened to you. In case you did not know, let me tell you what happens to me all the time. God happens to me. My Heavenly Father happens to me. The ministry of angels happened to me all the time. Judas told me the story the other day. A man, thieves were pursuing him. He managed to escape into his compound. They were armed. Next day, he came out of his house, disguised, because he felt he was being targeted. He got on a motorbike to go somewhere, ran into a truck and died. Not a year after. Oh boy. The very next day. Not a year after. The very next day. What does that take? Now, let us assume the thieves had got him that day, maybe they were kidnappers, and they had killed him. What would people have said? This is a problem of insecurity in this country. Life expectancy is too low. Can you imagine life is too cheap now? I'll be talking long grammar. Please, let unbelievers talk long grammar. There's something Jesus kept on saying. But you. But you. But you. Somebody say, but me.
But me.
Say, but me.
But me.
It's very important. Jesus will say, the Gentiles seek after they say, but you, your Heavenly Father knows. So your own life is not a game of chance. If God has not decreed your death, he put a gun to your head, pull the trigger at close range. Thus says the Lord, no weapon that is fashioned against you shall prosper. Amen. You know what God said? Let me just tell you what God said. He said, the man who made the gun, I made him. The one who sold it, I made him. The one that trafficked him, I made it. The one that loaded it, I made it. That finger he's using, I made it. So let me now make a statement. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall prosper.
Amen.
That's what he said. He first established the train of thoughts. No, quickly open there. It's not Isaiah chapter 54. Quickly open there. He first established the train of thoughts. Isaiah 54, yes, 54. In verse 15, he says, if anyone fiercely assails you, it will not be from me. Whoever assails you will fall because of you.
Amen.
He now said, behold, I myself have created the smith who blows the fire of coals and from there brings out a weapon for its work. He said, I myself, I have created the destroyer to ruin. Now, I myself am saying concerning you, no weapon that is formed against you will succeed.
Amen.
He said, every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. Said, this I've said is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness or their vindication is from me. So if you see a Christian was shot and he died, God commanded him to die.
Yes,
now Jesus was careful at the point in time to tell us, say, you see this happen, this happen, this happened. He said, listen, nobody's taking my life from you. I lay down my life by myself. And when the time comes, I will take it up again. You know why I have to say that? Guardian of that time will have told you about the wickedness of the Romans. Vanguard of that time will have told you about the connivance of the Pharisees. The betrayal of the Sadducees. That's what they would have said. How your own countrymen can sell you as a slave to the Romans and they will kill you. Don't trust them. Don't die for your country. This your country is not worth dying for. Look at how they killed a holy man. So Jesus warned them ahead. He said, no one is taking my life from me. I am laying it down by myself. He said, this commandment I have from the Father. He said, the prince of, okay, you're a spiritual person. Let me tell you. The prince of this world is coming and he has nothing in me. Why am I going to go to the cross? It is because it is the will of the Father. I laid down my life by myself. Get it clear. So when Pilate was speaking, Jesus looked at him. He said, you don't have power. He must have been strong. At least a hard one for Jesus not to laugh. You are telling the Lord, who could have asked 12 legions of angels to be released? 12 legions of angels. Do you know what it means? In case you don't know, one angel finished 186,000 Assyrian soldiers. 12 legions. The whole Roman kingdom is gone. Not only Pilate. How much? What is centurion? Centurion commanding 100 people. Okay, Pilate, maybe how many centurions did he have? One angel, 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. So, a legion of angels. Let's not talk about what you do. Now, the one who could have asked for that, you're not telling, do you not have the power to kill you or to set you free? If Jesus is not laugh, it was because God was with him. Let's put it like that. Let's put it like that. Just must look at it. This guy, you must think the world of yourself, Abby. He actually told him that, in other words, he said, this power you are bragging about, no person give you. Maybe you don't understand what that means. The governor amongst the nations gave you the power, and you are using it to threaten the governor amongst the nations. The governor amongst the nations gave you power, and you are using it to threaten him. I told you, praise is not hailing. Praise is recognizing who has the power. If I come here, then the hall is locked. And as well as the key, he says it's with Brother Felix. Are you praising him? But if you don't call him, will you enter the place? You won't enter now. He has the key. So it's not about, hey, Oga Felizo, the man with the key. No, now. You just go there and say, good afternoon, sir. They say you have the key to the hall. He says, yes. May I enter? You won't go and meet Steve. Say, Steve, go and meet Felix. Sir, they say you have the key to the hall. He says, yes. Then you don't want to see, may I enter? No, he's going to look like her. Impurumiri is walking here or something. Because you just recognize I'm the one. So a lot of us go to Steve and be, Brother Steve, where are you? He say, I'm in Abakwa. Please wait, I'm coming. You enter your car and drive all the way to Abakwa. Please, I want to enter Kingdom World Hall. What will he say to you? I don't have the key. Let me ask you a question. No matter how much you praise him, will he produce key? Some of us think that when you praise God, suddenly he will get the key. Praise is that you recognize that he has the key. And that's what happened with Jesus Christ. Pilate was threatening, and Jesus was looking like, you have the power to release me. Okay, let's get this thing clear. Somebody gave you that power. Let me not tell you the identity of the person. Pilate got the spirit and said, I beg, you guys should carry this man away. I don't want trouble. Brother, let nobody threaten you. What did I say?
Let nobody threaten you.
What did I say?
Let nobody
threaten you. Let me hear one more time.
Let nobody threaten you.
Do you know why? They don't have the power in your life. And if a big man is threatening like that, use style to tell, be nice, don't be rude, but use the style. Like now, maybe one very high-ranked policeman says to you, I will lock you up and you won't come out again. Don't argue. You can't lock me. No, don't like that. Just say, all keys are with Jesus Christ at the end of the day. He wants to release, he will release. He wants to lock up, he will lock up. You know what you are saying? Oga, now you go first enter that place before me. But you said it very nicely. Say, no, sir, don't be angry. There's no need to be angry. I mean, we are talking about being locked up. Jesus holds the power. All the keys are with him. Anybody he locks up will never come out. Anybody releases can never be locked up. But please, don't be angry. If he has sense, he will realize that you have just told him that if you talk again, you will enter that cell and die there. Because if he opens a door, if he shuts the door, please let nobody threaten you. Turn to your neighbor. Don't be threatened. The fact of life is the power belongs to God. What did I say?
The fact of life is power belongs to God.
Power belongs to God in every area. It is the Lord thy God that giveth thee power to get wealth. He was not trying to praise God. He was giving facts. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Say, whatever you are doing in this life, learn to pray. What did I say? Now, when I say learn to pray, please, brethren, can I stop, say something to us? Stop praying as if prayer is the key. Now, please, get my point. I know what I'm saying. No, you get where I'm going. Like, brethren, we're starting next week. We can't start without praying. Prayer is what? The key. What you are doing is that you actually think you hold the key. And it is in your mouth. And you are going to use the key in your mouth. And you are going to say, today, the door, be open, help, come. No. You still think, a lot of Christians pray like that. They think they have the key. There are certain keys they release in the time of prayer. It's called rolling prayer tongue. That one opens the door. It's a lie. When I say learn to pray, this is what you mean. You will get on your knees and pray. Father, to you be all the glory, all the honor, all power. It's the scriptures. All power belongs to you. Now, you are not saying this, please, brethren. You are not saying this to heal him. You are reminding yourself in his presence. Say, Lord, if you open a door, you know nobody can close it. Lord, if you have not opened a door for me, I'm going there. It's pointless. My going there will be pointless. Therefore, Lord, give me peace. Send me help. Cause this project to succeed. Silence the mouth of every accuser. Lord, my heart, I open it before you. If there's anything that is wrong in it, correct me now. Don't let me leave this place without your power. I am going not in the skill that I learned in school. Yes, I have my degree in architecture. I can design all kinds of buildings. My partner is a structural architect. He had a first degree. First class in architecture. What is that? Structural engineering. He knows the strength of materials. He knows everything. Say, God, but you know him, he's but a man. No. He said, Lord, I'm not going to the strength of my power. I say, Lord, if the Lord does not build a house, they labor in vain that build it. If the Lord does not, see, have you know something? We call it praise. That's actually praise. But real thing is what? Is recognition. You are reminding yourself of who the power is with. Except the Lord watches over the city. The watchmen are awake, but in vain. Lord, tomorrow we are going to stay awake. But if you are not there before us, it will be in vain. If we go and build this house, you don't build with us. We'll be building in vain. So the Lord said, what are you asking for? Cause the building to succeed. Fill our workmen with the spirit of skill. Let them do things they have never done before. You pray and say, Lord, we ask you for success in the name of Jesus. Having asked that one, you now get on and say, brethren, we are going to succeed. We have power with us. We act in accordance with his will. He has heard us. When you get there, say, there's this problem here. Say, don't worry. The wisdom to overcome it will come. You go to a corner. Father God, that place, the mud level was supposed to be 2 feet, but now I've gotten here, it is 20 feet. Our quotation for the foundation was supposed to be 17 million. Extracting that, if I say something that's off, correct me. I'm using him to preach. He knows he's the one I'm using to preach. There are people that you just know, Pastor, using me to preach. It's deliberate. I have you in my mind. Maybe you have a project that has mud in the place now. You have quoted wrongly. But the Lord will help you. So you look at the whole thing and then just, no, we prayed about this. You know, if you go the way it was budgeted, you either will lose money or you do a bad job. You say, no, I can't do a bad job. If I have to lose money, let me lose money. Then you go to the Lord, Father God, I need wisdom. Then you just remember suddenly a different type of foundation that's out of use now for certain reasons. They taught you that in second year in school. You call your engineering guy. Do you remember this kind of foundation? They've not used the days of the Romans, but it looked like it would be fit for this one. No? You dust the books and save 90% of your cost. It's called wisdom for the upright. Do you know why it came? Because you recognize who had the power. Some of you think, praise God, until they can't control it. No. Recognize God until you truly say to him, the power belongs to God. That's what I mean by pray. That's what we mean by pray. It's not, a lot of us think prayer means, I know what I'm telling you. A lot of us, when we are praying, you know what we are doing? We are using our own spiritual power. And that's why we pray so hard. Because we think that we are turning Jesus generator.
it's not agreeing to start. So you throw it faster and faster. It's not agreeing to start. So you got, get more brain to turn faster. Oh God, that. Turn it. Yeah, God, whoa. Turn it. Hey, yeah. You turn it. That's what you are doing. Because if you know you are asking God for something, you will talk less. The Bible says God is on in the heaven. You are on earth. Let your words be few. We talk too much because we think we are using our own generator. We now misquote scriptures. Wind the power. The Bible says that when you charge yourself on your most holy faith, you start charging it. Hey, papa. You are charging yourself. Why? Because you think very soon you are going to discharge. You know, like, hey, what the... Brethren, nobody you get power. The power belongs to God. But he has made it available to the person of faith. Do you hear what I said? Yes, the power of God is available to you if faith is found in your heart. So that time you kneel down and pray. Simply, you know, brethren, I can't be sharing. See, I don't have time to share testimonies here, and some testimonies are highly private. You will see some of the most powerful results I've gotten in my life. Generally, has been at night. I did not leave the side of the bed. Some one I particularly remember like this. I laid on the bed and I said, God, this was not what we discussed. Ah, I said, Lord, this was not how we said this thing. After the way you are shouting, check it, you know, you never get problem. No, you never get problem. There's a kind of prayer you pray, say, God, if you don't help me, I will die here. And that's what you're going to say. You wake up in the morning, say, Lord, I'm still awake. I'm still alive. You have helped me. I'm going out. You say, Lord, I didn't die. Ah, you must have heard me. When I see brethren pray sometimes, go and read this. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife Rebecca's sake. One of the names God bears, he said, I'm the Lord. I make barren women dwell in the house as joyful mothers of children. It's a name. The name is lifted up. There's a way you get to your knees. God will work a miracle in your life. When I see brethren, go and learn to pray. I've been begging you. Go and learn to pray. We make it. Real prayer is not noisy.
Yes.
The prayer that works, it doesn't have noise.
Yes.
It's not as if noise spoils prayer. That's not what I'm saying. But I just know from experience, when something grips you, the greatest noise you make is, then you'll stop. So you're making noise and pacing up and down, you don't get a problem. I'm telling you, if you can pace up and down, and you make noise for an hour, for 1 hour, brethren, first, let me tell you something. Nobody's hearing you. I know you won't like it. You're a Pentecostal. You won't like what I've said. They are just waiting in heaven for you to stop talking and start talking. Do you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
They are waiting for you to stop believing in your own ability to pray, to start asking God for help. So this prayer you're still praying is a formula. It's still a formula. Anything don't hold you, which one left? I told you that day. Look, real testimony. One woman heard the story. He said the child was sick. He talked to God. He said, Lord, help me. He said, you know, if I'm the one that had power and you needed help, I will help you. Yeah. That's what he told God. A woman, the child was sick. Just like the Syrophoenician woman. He said, Lord, help me. He said, you know. If you were the one this child was sick and I had the power, you know I will help you. Brethren, that's real praying. Yeah, because God was real to her. From the where I heard the gist, she got her miracle. We'll talk more about it, all right? We got to close today. Let me just give you a rundown. I believe we'll go back to it. I ran through this about praises that have been taken from God in our lives. And we need to return them to him. The first one, we'll talk about it again, is the one I just mentioned. Is the praise of God, the one that makes weapons. He made the atomic bomb. Do you know, I heard the story the other day. Do you know an atomic bomb fell from an American plane at a time? You know, there are things you just hear and say, eh? Yeah. And there's just one small reason it did not detonate. It was have been a tragic. They were transporting it. Something went wrong. They didn't find that bomb for a long time. People did not know that they had a dangerous nuclear weapon locking around. Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Many people don't realize this. Now, I can't remember whether it's Hiroshima or Nagasaki, one of them, was not where the pilots were sent. I don't know whether it's Hiroshima or Nagasaki. You know, two atomic bombs were dropped. Fat Boy was dropped. Anyway, two bombs, yeah. Fat Boy and Little something. What I remember, I think, is Nagasaki. The place that they were supposed to bomb, the pilots got there, and there was intense cloud cover they couldn't see. They circled round, they couldn't see. And then, of course, the bomb is heavy. They have a limited amount of time. So they are giving them options. So they moved to another option. And that's how Nagasaki was bombed. If I remember well, it's not Hiroshima, but I think it's Nagasaki. That was not their first target. What I think, the Lord just covered it with cloud. Say, you can't bomb this one. And told them to go somewhere else. There is no weapon that prospers on this earth that God doesn't have to authorize. Let's just leave that. It's a supply of bread. Brethren, there are some of you listening to me. God said, where you have kept yourself, I will make you hungry there in the midst of abundance until you recognize that I supply bread. Please, I know when I'm prophesying, I just did. So God said, where you've gone to look for bread, I will make you hungry there. Every bread you will find will be behind a glass. And you will see people eating it. But you will have to understand that if I have not given you, you won't have. Yes, God has led me to see that thing. I tell you, if I get a glass of water, I drink it. A lot of times I remember to thank. When I say, Lord, thank you for the glass, it's not just a Christian habit. No. It's, Lord, it is possible not to have water to drink. And as common as water is, my water is ordained by the Lord. Yeah. He's a supplier. He wants you to know. Brethren, he wants you to know. He said, when you see lions go hunt, you see them on National Geographic, running after deers and gazelles, running after roebucks, all those big ungulates. God said, go and read your Bible. Psalm 104. God said, they only went out to collect the food I provided for them. We'll come back to it. Just want to rush to it. He said, I'm the one that gives children. There's no one that's naturally fertile. He said, children are the heritage of the Lord. In Genesis 25, Isaac entreated the Lord, begged God for his wife Rebecca's sake, and God caused her to conceive. 20 years after they got married. Many people don't know that it was 20 years. He is the one that establishes destiny. I've told you again and again, brethren, if you are listening to me, hear it well. I was talking with one man of God the other day. Big man of God. I don't mention his name because, we said this in private. That's private gist. So people say, we are doing all of this because of our children. He said, they lie. I said, sir, thank you, sir. Because he's a much older person than me. The age gap between us, I don't think is anything less than 10 years. He gave us a testimony. He said, when I got born again in 1973, the whole church said, what? In case you don't know, 73 is 52 years ago. Which year are we doing now? 2025 minus 1973. What is that? I know it's 52 years ago. There's a reason why I know. Because I'm only a little older than that. That's how I do the calculation. Yeah, the man said, they lie. He said, this is why I left Nigeria. I moved to this country. Got my children. God, he's a man of God. He said, they should stop telling lies. You know, you heard me say it before, here, again and again, that don't use these children to say things that are not true. Because if you're a Christian, if you're really concerned about your children, the number one concern you will have for them is their faith. Yes, sir. Unless you're not born again. If you really are a believer, number one concern for your children is that will they believe God they won't? And we all know there is no better place to build faith in that child than the place you're running away from. You are taking that child to a place where the first thing he has to fight, that he'll be pumping his head every day. It's either overtly or subtly that life came out of nothing. And he doesn't even know whether he's a boy or he's a girl. It's only when he grows up he will know. You have to fight it every day. And you tell me it's because of them. I told you. Ask this my children here. You all know them. Every day. As big as Akin Louis, he still has to bring his head to his mother in the morning. Bless me before I go. He has to come to me in the morning. I have to put a blessing on him and all his younger ones. That's what they need to succeed. There are times, maybe we didn't come out that morning for prayer. Maybe they prayed up by themselves. You get a knock on the door. What is it? I'm going out. And the person will suddenly bow down. Then you get the point. You put the hand. Go. God will go with you. That's what they need. You know what Jacob said? Isaac. Say, I've sustained him with grain and with new wine. All he said to him was that nations will serve you. Leave that to men. The destiny of everyone is with God, though. It's not with the energy they are putting into it. He's the one that established destiny. We'll look at this things again. Of course, he's the healer. Do you not even know that he's the one that makes peace? His not ability to negotiate. I see Donald Trump saying that he deserves Nobel Peace Prize. I say, okay, for what now? This Baba is very funny. That old man. Job said in King James, if he gives peace, who can make trouble? Yeah, it's the word of the Lord. If he gives peace, you dare not make trouble. He said, I asked, who can hinder it? He said, as for my outstretched arm, who can turn it back? There's a reason why it's called the Prince of Peace. He said, when the ways of a man please the Lord, he will make even his enemies to be what? At peace with him. That is, his friends are already at peace. He will not add his enemies to it. When he wanted to bless Isaac, he made everybody come to make peace with him. They had to make a covenant. Isaac goes, what happened now? He said, no, come and make a covenant with us that you will always be on our side because we see that God is with you. We'll talk about this later for us to remember. Because these ones I'm picking are the ones where things are always telling us the opposite. I wrote here that there is a Lord, the governor of the nations. And I wrote in three areas. Number one, he's the one that chooses the leader, whether you like it or not. It's not INEC, it's not APC, it's not Labour Party. Number two, he's the one that causes nations to prosper. It's not your plans. See, let me just tell you how to do things. If you're a Christian, be a Christian. You know what I'm saying, so? You just have to believe. When they tell you that, you see, if the country plans well, things will work. It's not true. People have planned very well. And let's leave the country. Let's talk about your life. Have you not planned very well? And the things that depend on only you, it still didn't work. We're talking about a country that has millions and millions of people. You planned your own, only you. It not work. Only you. This one, there's nobody to blame. Has it not happened before that you get to your own house, you lock the door, you put the key in your pocket, you can't enter again, you can't find the key. You will look and call everybody, go up and down. Finally, someone now comes, what is the problem? I'm looking for my key. They say, what's this on your waist? Then you look behind. 2 hours, you've been outside your own house. Your key is on your waist, but at the back. And you took one keke to be going to all the places you have been that day looking for that key. Sometimes when it happens to me like that, I will look to heaven and say, Lord, so you wanted me to stay here, Abby? Because I don't believe a human being can do that to himself. You just hang at the back of him. Now, it can happen to you only you, planning only your own thing. It scatters. And you now want one person to sing that with your plan for the whole country. Half of the people planning with him are criminals. You are as bad as them anyway. You that's commenting on Twitter. You know what I'm trying to say. And you say it's not working. I believe that. Yet, there are countries that they're as bad as you are in this now country. And they are going forward. I don't have time to explain it. Do you know a lot of countries, I won't mention their name because their prime minister can be watching now. Tell me, you won't give me visa again because I abused their country. Yeah, they don't have anything they do. You can guess what I'm talking about. Yeah, the whole world will be carrying their wealth and giving to them. We train doctors, they will go there. We train nurses, they will go there. will take Nedami and his colleagues. They will go there. People will take their sharp skills. They will go there. Nigeria will spend money. India will spend money. Pakistan will spend money educating young people. They will all go there. Nobody will ask them, what are we coming here for? They don't know. Because you can't just be there sweeping gutter and you say you are being productive. You sweep gutter in Enugu. What did you get out of it? Nothing. You know what I'm saying? So, read your scriptures. God's whistles and people bring their wealth to places that he has blessed. They will contribute wealth from all over the world. They will not be saying that, this country. God says, see, if you want your country to be blessed, you can never wish for a good leader to do it. Ask for the blessing. When I have granted the blessing, then the leader will come to execute the blessing I have granted. But if I say that you are a people against whom the Lord has indignation every day, like the Edomites, you will build, he will tear it down. The year that you have the best agricultural plan with the best fertilizer distribution, that's the year it will not rain. You're not prepared for irrigation. Then let's say you prepare for irrigation, that is when it will not reach anywhere ahead of the Niger. You will see low Benue, low Niger that year. You know, after a while, it's good you quickly learn that God is against me. Yeah, so you now kneel down and say, dear Father. Now think about the Egyptians. 7 years of bondage. What did they do different? What did they do differently? Nothing. God just commanded 7 years of abundance. Then he told Joseph, there will be 7 years of famine. I've revealed it to Pharaoh. What did they do differently? Nothing. That year just came. Famine started. Choosing leaders is the Lord. Prospering the country is the Lord. Yes, he's the Lord. And last one, let me just add to it, then let's go. We'll develop them next time. To defend and strengthen every nation is the Lord. So if you see banditry in this nation, if you see a lot of these banditry problem we have, you know, I hope you know they are not from Nigeria. Yeah, they are from nations above. It started because of Gaddafi's rule. Gaddafi had such a massive, you know, cache of weapons. So when the nation fell apart, the weapons were released into the open market. And the most prosperous place around to get money when they've moved down south is Nigeria. People just saw a place where, and so instead of you complain sometimes, now I'm not saying this is a good thing, but it's cause for thanksgiving. Yeah. No, not the banditry. That's, God, at least you've blessed us. That's why some people are coming. The way I'm going is that when you want that to stop, don't call the name of the president. God will be angry with you. Don't call the name of the Nigerian army. God will be angry with you. God called himself a name. Say, I'm the Lord. I make wars cease. So if I want wars to cease, like this, they won't know what came upon them. Somebody just whistle something for them. Come over here. They are paying in millions of dollars. They will all rush there. I block the place. Blow sand. Ordinary sand over them. Kill all of them overnight. And bury them in the desert. And then somebody will literally collect all the guns. Hundreds of thousands of guns. Melt them. And export the metal to make spoons. And to make plows. To make agricultural implements. Because I spoke it. And it was done. That's the praise of God. Brethren, never give God's praise to anybody else. Please, we are going to continue next time. What I wanted us to do was we'll take this one by one, read a number of scriptures, and we just, each one of us, just be blessing the Lord. Like I said, not for his sake, you recognizing who he is. Just pardon me, I just look at the time now. Really, I've stayed here today. Just tell the Lord, say thank you. Because of who you are. Now, call him. I give you a number of things now. Call him names. Say, Lord, and I apologize so to him, Lord. You know, I was blaming my uncle, but I forgot that he's not my provider. I was blaming the country. I forgot that without you, they can do nothing. I was blaming the head of state. No, Lord, you're the one that breaks the staff of bread. Lord, I apologize. Again, let somebody call him the healer. You focus too much on your bad genes. He said, who sinned that this one should be born blind? Jesus said, neither. He said, but the work of God must be done in him. I must walk the work of him that sent me while it is day. He said, Lord, walk your work in my life. Now I understand. My genes are not the problem. Some people are blaming their parents because of the bad genes they inherited. As if they woke up. They didn't get it from somewhere.
Then they woke up and they said, I tweaked their own gene to be bad. Leave that thing, please. Just ascribe glory to the Lord. Ascribe greatness to the Lord. He's the rock. He's a just God. His work is perfect. And all his ways are just, Moses told us. He's a God of faithfulness without injustice. Good and upright is he. Just give the Lord thanks.